Okay, so good morning. So this is a presentation to update you on our data center plans. And I will start by a short reminder about what we did a few years ago and the lessons we learned since then, and what is this extension project, what are the goals and the timeline. So just to remind you, this project I will mention is, let's say, part of this P2IO world, which is P2IO just means physics des infinis and des origines means nuclear physics, energy physics, astrophysics, and cosmology. And this is a group of 8 labs, basically in the same area, representing something around 2,000 people, that decided to join their effort and to have, let's say, fostered collaboration 5 or 6 years ago, and to build this consortium of laboratory around technological platform. One of them is the computing one, and is often referred as virtual data. And just to mention also, in this P2IO consortium, there are more than 100 people doing computing and software. Let's say 40% doing computing, 60% software. So just to give you maybe a more precise idea, this is from Google Maps. So you have the scale here. This is 100 meters for this. So you can see this is a very close, very small area where most of the labs are grouped here. The data center I'm speaking is here. So this is a very, very small area. So when we started the project, we did not add exactly this amount of resources, but most of them were here. So now the main resources we are running are our grid site. In fact, there is this grid site, which is spread over several locations. And in fact, 2 of the labs participating are part of this valley part of P2IO, the one I show you on the map. Because just here, I mentioned there are, in fact, 6 of the partners are in this very close area, and 2 of them are a little bit further, 5 kilometers from here. So we have in P2IO as a whole, there is something like 75 or 80% of the GRIF resources that are hosted here. And in the ORSE part that I mentioned, half of this. We have now this significant cloud that we run, operate at LAL, which is already more than 2,000 core and is growing. There are quite a number of computing resources for astrophysics hosted there. There are several small clusters. And when we started in 2012 to 2013, we had basically to find a way to host all these things efficiently. So we managed to convince our director that it was time to stop putting money in not very well-designed small computing room and do something better, more sustainable. So they agreed basically to spend €1 million with a contribution from the labs without any special funding to to build a new facility that will be shared by everybody, will address the short-term needs and could be extensible. One of the ideas was that what we will do in the short term should be the basis for the extension, and the extension should not replace or deprecate what we did a few years before. The main focus for this new facility was really about hosting scientific computing, and it was the PUE, the power efficiency. And because we wanted to optimize the operational cost, we estimated that for P2IO, it was something like €1 million spent every year in the electricity, half of them for the ORSE part. And we made a small study and found that with the kind of plan we had a return on investment in about 5-6 years. Among the choices, there was a cooling choice that was done based on things we saw before, and also based a little bit on the early experience at GSI. It was to have a room without any central ventilation, crack unit, or whatever, and rely only for the cooling on real low heat exchanger in the racks with the chilled water produced by chillers with equipped with a free chilling unit. Another choice was to have no UPS. We thought that as far as scientific computing is concerned, if you have no power, probably the most efficient is to stop the computing. We don't have real-time acquisition or whatever. And in fact, when we designed this first phase of the data center, we had a time where the high voltage circuit that was used for powering it was very stable, much less than one power outage per year. We have seen since then that it changed a little bit. And so if you want all the details about what we did, it's not the goal of this presentation. You can refer to the presentation I gave in Bologna a few years ago. So just maybe to give a few ideas about what we have now. So the data center characteristics, this is a kind of artist's view of what we have. It's not exactly the final things we have done, but this is basically this. This is the form factor of the room is quite specific. It's pretty long and not very wide. This is we reused an existing two-story building that was a technical building with the idea to, and we put, let's say, all the utilities, power, cooling, and so on, and on the ground floor, and the computing room is on the first floor. And in fact, we are lucky after the Wayne presentation, the ground floor is not exactly the ground floor. It's 1 meter over the ground floor, and we had a very serious flooding 1 year ago, and water did not go until the electrical equipment. So for this, we are lucky. So the potential is 220 square meters. And with the kind of placement of the racks that we have, pretty dense, we can put up to 84 racks in this room, 42 racks. We are lucky also because this is a building that was built 40 or 50 years ago, a time where there was a lot of money. And so the floor at the first floor is able to handle 1 ton per square meter, so it means we can put a lot of equipment there. And so the rows are are made of 7 racks, and we have very dense occupation. Basically, we have 100 meter 20 between the front side of the rows and 90 centimeters between the back side. And so in the initial phase, what we did is we equipped 100 square meter in this room with 30 racks and the potential for 400 kilowatts of servers. So this is a picture. It's not very easy to have a picture that is rendering good, but this is basically the room we have. This is this is another view, which is a little bit special, but it's just not for the view itself, but just to show you that we have a very dense rack occupation from what you can see. If we have 42 U in a rack, we really feel 42 U in the rack. So the feedback we of these first years of operation is that we had no problem to support this very dense occupation of racks. As I said, we can really fill the 42 U in the rack, and even with very dense machines like dual twin machines like the Dell, what we use mostly today, Dell FX2 or Dell C6000 series. And with the FX2, a full rack is something like 25 kilowatts, and it's really not a problem. The active cooling door is a must. So maybe you don't know this kind of technology that was presented, I think, quite a number of times, in particular by GSI. Basically, the idea, it's a completely different idea from the cold hot air containment. Basically, the idea is that you don't have any hot air in the room, and at the rear side of the rack, you have a heat exchanger that is controlled, where you say, I want the air to exit the rack at this temperature, and it means you don't have any, the hot air is in fact contained only in the rack. And there are basically two technologies. One that is used at GSI, for example, you have the heat exchanger and you rely on the server fans to push the air through the exchanger. And this exchanger is pretty dense. It means it offers a lot of resistance and it has quite some impact on the fan speed for the servers. And there is another technology from the vendor we use, a French vendor at OSRAC, where they put some fans in the they put fans in the door, and these fans are pretty big fans, running slowly, and they are just here to compensate for the overpressure. They are regulated by the pressure. The goal is that they run as fast as is needed, so that there is no pressure difference between the inside the rack and outside. And because of this, it means that the airflow is much more fluid, and the server fans can run slower. And we really did a comparison, because in particular at the beginning, we had in one part of the room some passive door and the part an active door with exactly the same server configuration. It was 42U of 1U machines, basically 40 kilowatts. And we noticed that the overall concentration of the rack was 1 kilowatt less for the active door solution than the passive one, just because it was much more efficient for the server fans. They were able to run slower. In our case, there was another reason why the active door is really needed, is that we had, in fact, one row at the beginning that was only passive door, but we have no crack unit. It means no ventilation in the room. And the passive door are not, with the server fans, you cannot create enough of an airflow in the room, and you tend to have some places where you have a, it's not that there is hot air in the room, but just because the air is not as fluid, the rack itself is becoming a little bit hotter, and it's like a radiator in the room and making the room a little bit hotter. So for this reason, we decided after the first procurement of racks, because we first acquired 14 racks and after that 16, to have only active door in the room, despite they are a little bit more expensive to buy. We had a very smooth operation. The average FT for the facility operation is something we could not even dream about. I would say something like 10-15%, maybe. Really, it's running very well. And in fact, it made the data center very attractive, not only for our labs, but for the labs at the university. And several of them tried to put machines here. We are a little bit reluctant, a little bit like the people at CERN and the SHLT discussion, all these things. Saying, okay, it will be maybe 1 kilometer from our lab or whatever, and they were all completely surprised how it was changing their life to have a facility that is running smoothly and has no problem. And so the current situation is that now that our initial room with these 42 racks is almost full. Probably we have something like almost 2 racks still free, but. So the lessons we learned from this, thinking at the extension, was that the solution we had with only these real door things is a very resilient solution, because we had, in fact, in these 3 years, a couple of times, a door which was failing. It means the regulation was not working anymore. So thanks to the monitoring, we saw it. And in this case, we just opened the door. There is some hot air going into the room. It is absorbed by the odors, cool it, and it's converging very quickly. So, in fact, we were not completely sure about this, and we were a little bit, we found it was a little bit challenging, maybe not to put any crack unit, but at the end, we realized that it was a very, very reliable. Even if this is a 25 kilowatt, which is a problem, a 25 kilowatt rack. And in fact, if it takes time for you to detect the problem, the door will remain closed. And just what it means is that in this rack, maybe the temperature will be a little bit higher, but not that much, because the fan will continue to absorb the fresh air, and just they will push a little bit of hot air in the room. But this is the same thing. It has no impact neither on the rack that has the problem nor on the global room. We can run at higher temperature than before. We are currently running at 23 degrees. The initial plan was 25. I will say why we have not done yet. And really, despite, I visited quite a number of installations where people do hot air containment. And one of the problems with hot air containment is that, in general, the intervention on the machine is on the rear side. And it means you have the humans to go into the hot air, and you cannot. It's very difficult for the humans to work at 50 degrees, you know. Where here, we don't have any hot air in the room, so it means that we can have the door you will open will generate a little bit of hot air, but it is absorbed by the room, and so that there is not this impact on the human interventions. The chiral redundancy is clearly another must. Basically, it's something we knew from the past. You have always minor problems on the chiller, and it's very good to have at least two. And the power redundancy, in fact, we discovered was more critical than anticipated. We don't have anyone at this time, but there are some beam construction in the area, and so we have basically a power cut, power outage every year, last one this morning. Clearly the power feed is not as stable as it used to be. And the cooling door monitoring and alarming is also critical. At the beginning, we did not have the alarming for the door itself and its regulation. And sometimes it took a few weeks before we realized there was one door not working properly, because it has no impact on the infrastructure, but you really have to be able. But the racks we are using are really instrumented. You can just get data about ventilator speed, power, temperature, pressure, all these things, so it's very easy to plug it into a monitoring system. So the extension we are working on, the main goal is to increase the data center capacity, and the next phase should be to have 51 racks with a capacity of hosting from 600 to 900 kilowatt IT, depending on the level of redundancy we want in the power. Just to remind you, the full capacity of the room is a thing we cannot do without pushing the walls, is 84 racks and 1.5 megawatt. The secondary goal is also to do all the development works that is required for the further extensions. For the extending the room, we just have to add more electrical capacity, more chillers, but nothing else. So it means we will do the work for the full size room. We will do the plumbing for covering the whole room, the main distribution, and there are some accessibility things. And the goal is basically that we can add by increment of 300 kilowatt IT. More capacity in the future for something like 300 kilo euro, which is not a too big budget. So we got the funded. The good news is that we got the funded already almost 2 years ago by a special fund in France that is a combined funding by the state and the region for infrastructure, in particular the research infrastructures. It's part of a 20 million euro project we got for these P2IO labs in Orsay to refurbish, to renovate the infrastructure and the labs. And we have basically 1.7 million euro allocated for this project. One of the constraints we discovered is that, contrary to what we did in the first phase where it was managed by ourselves, it is now managed by a public agency in charge of this kind of things, and they are not exactly agile. In fact, it took almost 18 months for the project to start. It's just starting. And all these delays were mainly caused by university contracting to this agency and clearing out all the problems. So the extension choices. First thing is to implement the power redundancy model we had in mind in the initial phase that we are not able to implement because of the budget at this time. It's basically that all the power and cooling in this building is organized in what we call technical pole. It means a set of things providing the high voltage switch gear, the transformer, the low voltage distribution, and the associated chiller capacity. Everything powered by the same things. And we have several of these poles because the building is very well designed for this kind of approach. So we can have up to six of these poles in an N plus one configuration, redundancy configuration. And the way the redundancy is implemented is by the fact that every rack can be plugged on two low voltage circuits connected to different poles. And this way we achieve the so. And this is why we have a choice whether we can say we put all the machines on dual power. And in this case, you have only 600 kilowatts. So we can say some of the machines are not that critical. We don't put them on dual power, and you have more capacity for more machines. Donc, the other thing is that we will add more redundancy in the power field to protect against these power outage. The fact is that at the university, there are in fact two different high voltage circuits. And we are currently on the one that is known to be the most reliable. But we also know now by experience that when there is a power outage on one circuit, it never happens on the other one. So the idea here is that one of the technical poles we will add will be on the second high voltage circuit in such a way that we will have 300 kilowatt critical capacity for a critical zone, where basically for all the system, if we lose the power on one circuit, as long as there is on the other circuit, there will be no impact on the services. And it should be enough to cover all the critical services we are running and most of our storage. And we still want to avoid UPS. For us, this is a source of inefficiency. And we are really focused on the operation cost. And also by the experience that most of you reported and our experience, UPS are unfortunately not very reliable and tends not to work every time you need them. So it was in particular the case. We have a small UPS, for example, for our router. And since 1 year, it is supposed to last 10 hours, and it lasts half an hour. And there were, I don't know, three or four maintenance interventions to understand the problem, and they never managed to fix it. So for us, we think it's better to try to live without. And we think that the redundancy model we have with this two power feed will be close to 100% of power for the critical services. We'll also double the heat exchanger. We have, in fact, two water circuits. One which is outside for the chiller and one which is in the room. As it is outside, it has to be protected against freezing by glycol. So the secondary circuit is pure water because we have close to 400 valves in the installation. And if you put glycol in your water, you have more chance of having water leaks. And it is also less efficient. Currently, we had only one heat exchanger, and clearly this is a spoof for the installation because you cannot avoid at some point to have some maintenance on it or you may have a problem. So the idea is that we'll put a second one, maybe a little bit smaller in terms of capacity that will be in parallel. And the other thing is the PUE verifications. It was part of the initial plan, but currently we can only manually check it. So we did from time to time. We see that we are basically in what was our goal. It means less than 1.3. We had basically everything to do the automatic calculation, just we had no time to think purely about how to do it, how to connect all the equipments. And clearly this is something that we want to do. First, politically, it's always good to show that you are very good in terms of efficiency. But also in terms of operation, this is one of the reasons we delayed increasing the temperature, is that we would like, it was part of the question we had before, we would like to be sure that if we increase the temperature, it's really beneficial for the overall consumption, and for example, that you don't have your fans going much faster. And so we have seen with this passive, active, weirdo things that it's not always as intuitive as you could imagine. So we were not completely in a hurry, and we will wait to have this good monitoring to increase the temperature and verify that it is beneficial for the operational cost. So the timeline is that the feasibility and cost assessment has been done at the end of last year by consultants that were not involved in the first phase. They confirmed that what we did was appropriate, that our ideas for the extension were right, and that the budget and vision was correct. So for us, this is a good thing. We are currently at the end of the first phase of a call for tender for the general contractor, what we call the maître d'œuvre in France. This is in fact a two-phase process. So the first thing is just to select the few people, the few companies we will ask for a real tender. And we expect to have selected this general contractor in July with a fall dedicated to the detailed final studies and the preparation of the construction tender, and hoping to have it at the end of last year. And if everything goes as we planned, if nothing goes wrong, the extension work may start in March, and we may have the new extension ready for production sometime in September. So the summary is that we funded an initial phase with the money of the labs, used by six labs, used by other labs in the university. It will be the place where we'll host part of this P2IU-wide safe infrastructure presented by Guillaume, DataNG. It has been very successful. We are in particular very happy of these cooling choices we made. We think that really the active door things is the most optimal choice in terms of PUE. We have very low management costs, both in terms of manpower and budget. And we were very successful in managing this infrastructure collectively between the P2IO labs. And so the extension is eventually ongoing. We have an 18-month delay. Hopefully we'll survive it. But we hope it will not be more. The design has been confirmed. And the further extension should be possible at a reasonable cost for the labs. Thank you.
Thank you, Michel.